Hello and welcome to another episode of Horror Film Lovers Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Adkins, with my co-host, Jonathan A. Moody, and we have a guest on today, Cody Hancock, and we will be talking about the movie, The Loved Ones.
All right.
Would you like to give us a little bit of a synopsis on that one, Jonathan? Because it's new for you. I actually picked it.
I know, you picked it, and you picked a wonderful movie that I don't think I'd ever even heard of, honestly. I guess the easy synopsis is a girl asks boy out on date to, you know, prom.
Boy turns school dance, you know.
Yeah, to prom. Boy turns girl down. Girl gets super mad and kidnaps boy and kills boy's dog. We'll get into that in a little bit,
because
I'm questioning that. And then boy has to figure out how to get out of girl's crazy house, and
Basically, this is a movie that I found just randomly in a horror movie section while streaming. If you want to pay for it, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. If you don't, you can download Pluto TV is the one you told me about. And that's where we watched it. You had a few ads, but it is free. Or you could pay the $3.99 on Amazon Prime. But it's a movie worth watching, and I've shown it to a few people. But basically, you've got this crazy girl named Lola Stone, who's just your shy little girl in pink, who, she doesn't seem like anybody really likes her that much, but they don't really get too into her background. But basically, you turn her down for a date, or you don't acknowledge that she likes you, she's going to get her daddy on you, because that's his little princess, and he will do anything to make her happy. So her dad basically kidnaps this boy for denying her, to go to the dance, because he's not into her and he has a girlfriend, And daddy goes and kidnaps him, and he does have a dog with him at that time, which, we'll talk about here in a minute. And then basically this boy has to fight for his life to get out of the situation while daddy and daughter Dearest torture the hell out of him. I don't believe Cody has seen this movie either.
Not until now.
Now, yes.
I'm just showing it to everybody. It's definitely a crazy girl movie, and it is an Australian movie.
I told you I like crazy girls, but then when I saw this movie, I was like, not that kind of crazy girl. She can stay away from me. I'm okay. I'm all
right. Right. Well, I was telling him there's two girls in this movie. You got the crazy girl Lola, who's like, you don't like me, I'm going to put you in my basement. And then you got the hot goth chick crazy girl who's just drunk and emotionally unavailable, who's just like 40 and wants to smoke weed. And
honestly,
I'm like,
that's a plot.
Personalities in this one movie.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get your love for it, but that subplot just bothered me. Like, It really served no purpose to the rest of the film, except
the friend and the goth girl.
Yeah, just like literally, like if you took them out of the movie, it would have been
would have been fine without it. I think the only reason they put it in there was for a little bit of a breakup of like the storyline, as as that the sister was, or the girl, the goth girl, was the sister of the kid that he swerved to miss on the road that Lola had kidnapped. They were just trying to tie that in. And plus her dad was a cop, the cop who got involved in all of this as well. So I think they were just trying to tie in the whole family there to make more of a story. But yeah, I probably could have gone without, I enjoyed the scenes being in there.
There was like one part that I loved, and it's that when he brings her home, and he's like, I guess I swept her off her feet or whatever. And that actually made me laugh. Like, I was like, I guess if they're going to have that one line, in the movie, or whatever, it was worth all of it. But it's just, like her like grabbing him while they were doing the
she was very traumatized, I think, from her brother's disappearance. She was just not there, which I can't remember his name, but he's the best friend, of our victim guy, and they show him at school together, and he asks the girl he likes out to a dance. He gets a yes, and then our main guy gets asked by Lola Stone and he's like, nope, I have a girlfriend. So it's like two very different nights, two very different outcomes of what could have been, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, what's the guy's name?
I'm horrible with names.
Jamie, I think.
Okay, because I'm horrible with names in these movies. I remember Lola's name because they said it quite a few times. But if they don't say it more than once, I have a hard time remembering it.
It's funny. The guy who played him is Richard Wilson, and he mm-hmm. kind of looks like Rain Wilson a little bit from The Office. Dwight Schrute from The Office. Right. And I'm wondering if they are related. No, but he's from Sydney. There's most likely not related. You know, just happen to have this same last name and look similar.
Which this is an Australian movie. And I think you informed me that director did another movie we did on our podcast last year, Devil's Candy.
The Devil's Candy, yeah, where it's kind of like they're different enough where I wouldn't have thought they were the same director because you didn't know that. But they're similar enough now that, like, you know, seeing both, I can kind of compare and contrast. Like, they're both about, you know, emotionally, like, messed up sort of family issues, you know.
Right. Kind of thing. There was also, like, a big play on the metal music. So, obviously, this director is a fan of metal. Because I think there was a Metallica shirt in the other movie as well.
They listened to it a lot, you know. He was listening to it in the car, and then when he was doing the paintings and stuff, he was listening to it. So there was a lot of metal in Devil's Candy. There's a lot of metal in this. Mm-hmm. So it was,
which is probably why we enjoyed it, because we love the metal.
I'm not a huge metal fan myself. Like, it's just not my genre. But I respect it and I love it, like, for what it is, you know. So if it's on for a movie, just the same as I'm not into rap, but if rap is in a movie and it fits for that movie, I'll listen to it, you know.
Right. Which, you had that director's information, didn't you?
Well, I just heard a little bit. I mean, I just know he's only done these two films. His name's Sean Byrne. He's only done these two films, except for he's done short films and stuff. But these are the only two so far. And it took about like 6 years before he did like the next one. And so I'm wondering, he wasn't able to, I guess, get what his next film done, I guess, in 2021, which would have been the, you know, 6 years. So I guess maybe 8 years or something if he makes another movie. I don't know. Maybe he won't, you know. Maybe he was like, because like 6 years is a long time.
It is, you know, it is.
Between films.
I didn't realize they were that far apart. So that's good information to have. I didn't know that.
I'm wondering if that was because both films are sort of very well put together as far as writing and directing. And I wonder if that's what, like, he kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he looked at these two things and he made sure that they were perfect.
Right.
And so maybe his next film, he'll make sure if he ever does another one.
He put something else out, because I really did enjoy these two movies. When I picked them, I did not know that it was the same director. So I do hope that he does put something else out, and I'll probably enjoy that as well.
Somebody will make it like some kind of trilogy title thing. Like, there'll be like the Lost and Alone trilogy or something, you know? Because if you look at Lola's name, mm-hmm. Lola Stone, if you put them together, you know, the words or whatever, it actually is an anagram for Lost and Alone.
That's really interesting.
Somebody like pointed that out on IMDb, and or somebody like pointed it out to the director mm-hmm. at a a festival or something. Mm-hmm. And the director was like, whoa, that wasn't intentional, but that's awesome to know. Yeah. Like, I mean, but Lola Stone, yeah, who we only know on IMDb as Princess, you know, which is what her dad kept calling her.
Right. So there's this deep embedded twisted daddy thing going on too.
Oh God.
Oh yeah. What do you want to dive into first about this? Since so like I know we kind of jump around sometimes. Where would you like to begin?
There's a lot of weird dynamics with this film.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could go through the whole story and then kind of touch base about stuff. So like it begins with father and son, the main kid and his dad driving down the road, and I guess as he like learning to drive or something, like he, you know, kind of
it seemed like he was kind of a beginner driver, but they were just joking around about his dad playing old music, you know, like, oh, you're an old timer playing old timer music, and them just joking around. But he takes his eyes off the road for a second, looks back up and sees a boy with a heart-shaped bloody carved mark on his chest and tries to swerve and runs into a tree. And unfortunately, that's where his father, you know, meets his end. And that sets a precedent to kind of real, you know, for the rest of the movie that this kid is now emotionally scarred. And that also makes it where his mother and him have this weird relationship or this horrible relationship where she doesn't want him in a vehicle or driving and is paranoid and blames him and creates a weird dynamic there as well. And then you later find out why the boy was there in the first place and who he was too.
Yeah. I mean, his mother, you could tell she really loved him and was like worried because, you know, and there's one point where she says, I think he blames me for, you know, and then the girlfriend says, you know, well, do you? And
she didn't really answer that. She didn't really answer. So I take that as a yes.
I take that as sort of a yes, but like you know, when you're in a sort of trauma like that, like I get it, you know, I mean, like at that particular time, you're probably going to blame somebody for that, you know, and you're gonna,
I don't think she wants to put blame on her kid, but I think she does have some resentment there for him being behind the wheel,
right? And so the father dies and 6 months later, and it's about to be prom, you know, like a couple days before prom, I guess, or day, whatever it is. And so the he's at the lockers, you know, with his best friend, and that's when he sees the girl of his dreams or whatever, the goth girl.
Right.
And so the friend runs off and asks her out. She says, yes, I'll go to prom. We find later on that she's the, the sister of the kid.
She's the sister of the boy in the road and also the daughter of the police officer in town who investigates, you know, the missing person.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that unfortunately doesn't get, doesn't get kind of solved for us, you know, the audience, but we're sort of because like including later on he sees the picture of the boy, you know,
right,
or whatever. So he sees that picture and he's kind of like you know, like, oh my god, that's the kid that was in the middle of the road, you know. And which got me wondering, like, whatever happened to that boy? Because
we were asking the same question. We were asking the same question because obviously, you know, they didn't, you know, when they crashed and whatnot, the boy must have disappeared and just gone off and died somewhere, because otherwise I would think they would have found him and taken him to a hospital and he potentially would have survived and then he would have been there with his family instead of his family acting like he was still a missing person.
Well, so I was thinking he might have just like sort of hid away somewhere.
That's maybe what I'm saying.
I don't know if he like died necessarily, but
right, but he had to have just wandered off.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wild dingoes in, you know, rural Australia.
True.
That, you know, probably ate him.
The dingo ate your baby, right?
Yeah, right.
Dingo ate my boyfriend.
Yeah, dingo ate that random guy that you saw. But anyway, he invites the girl to prom. The other girl, Lola, comes and says, hey, you know, do you want to go to prom with me? And he says, I can't, I'm going with Holly, which is his girlfriend, you know. And so he ends up talking to Holly. They end up kind of messing around in the car because she just got her license. And he kind of tells her, like, somebody, you know, whatever. And so he kind of keeps teasing about it, like, you know, it's not you, it's, you know, whatever. And he's not telling her, but we don't find out. And I'm kind of glad they did this, because it would have been something that would have been on our minds the whole time of like, why didn't she already know, like, just think about Lola, you know? But it right. totally makes sense that she wouldn't think like Lola kidnapped her boyfriend.
Right. He kind of barely mentioned it when he was saying goodbye to her, like, oh, by the way, it was Lola that asked me. And then later, while she's, you know, sad and crying, can't figure out where he is, all of a sudden pops in her head, like, huh, Lola did ask him. Maybe there's something there, you know?
She right. was really persistent about trying to get a name out of him.
Right.
Yeah, right. Like, he was teasing her. He's like, I'm not going to tell you who asked me. And then there was a little bit of TNA and they're involved. And she tried to get it out of him. But finally, she did. Finally, he told her there before he left.
Yeah, right when he went home. But we don't see this in the beginning of the movie. Like, she doesn't do this in the beginning. It happens, like, when she remembers, we see a flashback of him telling her, I think. Right?
No, he told her as when he got out of the car, when she dropped him off, he told her.
Did he? Okay, so I forgot about that then too.
Yeah, so, he mentioned it to her when she dropped him off. She's just like, oh, by the way, it was Lola, and they had a little bit of a laugh about it. And okay. then he went in and had that argument with his mom about, why can't I just drive? Why, you know, why being in a taxi is the same as driving, and yeah. all of that.
And then he decides he's just gonna go take his dog for a walk and get high and just
right listen
you know.
To some heavy metal brooding music and be all pissed off and you know and all this Ballist stuff
dance.
Yeah
and then
try to climb up the cliff and,
and then that's when all shit goes downhill, man. You know?
When daddy comes and decides to put a rag over his mouth and stab his dog and drag him away.
Yeah, I mean, what a
the dog was yeah. sad though, you know.
Once again, we talked about it earlier. We don't really know what happens to the dog. The dog gets found, you know, and everything. Right. But, and then the dad.
Right. Because the dog makes its way home, kind of crawling and bloody. And that's how they figure out, like, hey, something's wrong here, because the dog just returned stabbed. And Holly does try to drive the dog, it looks like, to a vet. And you see the dog whimpering, but you don't really see what happens after that. So, yeah,
but you never see the dog, like the dog. I was hoping the dog would come back out, maybe right. like, you know, whatever. So, and she doesn't. So
be like, you know what? The dog got dropped off at the vet and he's in good care.
Okay. Because yes. you never know. So there's
you
that.
Know. You never so, know. We're going to hope. Because the dad does mention later, you know, like when he has a hammer, he's like, I killed your dog with this. And we're like, well, I mean, technically you don't know, because the dog was alive last time we saw him. So
yeah, he was just whimpering a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they know something's going on. Something's wrong. This is not good. Right. They call the parents call the cops, but, you know, or whatever. But there's really nothing.
Right.
You know, they don't have any clue where this, you know, where he could be.
You got a small town cop, which is the Officer Valentine, which he is the father of the goth girl and of the missing boy who he almost hit. And he tries to investigate, finds his iPod and his weed at the scene of the crime. And then once he hears about Lola, goes over to Lola's house to see if he could find the boy.
Right.
But there's a lot of torture over at Lola's house.
Did any of
that make you squeam?
Well, no, I'm not a big fan of torture porn, and mm-hmm. it did become sort of torture pornish. And
I have to say I am a fan of that.
I know, yeah. and that's fine. Like, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I'm not a really big fan of Hostel, but I love Cabin Fever, which is right. one of the movies we'll probably be doing this year.
See, I'm one of those people where I watch Hostel and then I take a nap and I just fantasize what it would be like to be the killers.
Well, I mean, I could never see. That's the thing. Maybe that's it. Like, I could never do that. And I don't like torturing people. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm weird about that
you
stuff.
Put
like,
a
I
gag in their mouth and you don't have to hear them scream. It's fine.
Well, that's the whole part about fantasy is you could just put yourself in the movie and you know it's not real, you know? So it's right. like, I don't know these people. It's not real. You know, it's just fun to dream about a little bit sometimes. Help get that angst out.
Right. Yeah. And if it's somebody who's like annoying or like a horrible person, right. I'm okay.
And for Lola's case, it was a hot guy at school who had a girlfriend and wouldn't go to the dance with her.
But honestly, I liked him. And so right. He was a good kid. It was kind of like, you know, when you watch like movies like Saul and you actually like the characters that are getting like tortured, and you're just like, why? Like, I feel terrible for these people.
You're rooting for them to get away. And right. He made several attempts because, you know, he woke up there and, you know, they stopped and they got fried chicken and all this stuff. And the dad decorated the whole house like it was the dance, you know, got his daughter this pretty pink dress and shoes. And, you know, had this big old party set up at the house.
Okay. So that scene where she's putting on the dress.
Yep.
That's awkward, creepy scene. Yes. That scene up until later. It goes worse.
It gets worse. But like I said, there's this weird daddy daughter thing where obviously the father is in love with his daughter to the point to where it gets a little incestual.
She calls her mom, right? If I'm correct, right? Was that her who called her mom?
That was her mom, and they call her Bright Eyes?
No. I thought there was I thought she actually picked up a phone and called and said, oh, mom, I can't, you know, I'm sorry. Well, I'm missing you. Or is that Holly?
Holly called her mom.
Okay. Because I remember somebody called their mom and was talking.
Bright Eyes is the only motherly figure you see at Lola's house, which I'm assuming is her mother.
But it wasn't really her real mom.
I'm not sure because it was kind of a little spacey in the information there. Yeah. Because I don't think I really heard her call her mom.
No, she did. She did at the end.
Oh, she did? Okay.
She did at the end. But
she did.
But this is where it got a little weird was when they said something like she kept calling her Bright Eyes. And she said, you know, she asked something about Bright Eyes. And that made me go, I don't think that they're related, that this is just some lady that they picked up and they drugged her and made her
Right, because her dad obviously taught her how to do this to these boys, so her dad obviously did that to this woman.
That's what my guess is.
He obviously lobotomized her and stuff, and you could tell there was this rivalry for attention. Like Lola did not like that her dad had this other person, because she would pull her hair and she would be mean to her, and then she ended up killing her once her dad was gone.
Yeah, you know, she had no use for her.
She was jealous of her.
Well, she had no use for her because now...
You could see the jealousy all throughout the thing, though, where she pulled her hair and stuff, where she's like, no, this is my daddy, you know?
I think she even asked at one point, who's prettier, me or her?
Right. She was very, very competitive and jealous over Bright Eyes. Because that was her dad. They had this weird thing where it was like this father-daughter love where he's like, that's my princess, I'll do anything for her. And she's like, that's my daddy, he does anything for me, he's my prince, you know. And he buys her that dress and she gets in her underwear in front of him and slinks it on. You could tell he's like looking but not looking and smirking, and yet also
he keeps turning his face
and looking down and then looking back and looking down and looking back, like he's like, I shouldn't, but I want to.
There was a lot of really good camera work in the movie to emphasize how awkward and just demented this universe was.
Yeah.
Right.
There was, this relationship between the father and daughter is just, it starts off creepy, but it gets even creepier and creepier as it goes. And we'll talk about that in a sec. So they're at the dinner table and he's tied up and he's trying to escape. You could see him like pulling his hands out, trying to get out, but he can't, you know, at one point and stuff. And I mean, just the stuff that they say to him or do just made me go, where is this movie going? You know,
they immediately put the antifreeze in his neck, which I'm not sure how that works, but apparently it makes him where he can't speak.
I feel that would kill you.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that would have, I didn't know it was antifreeze. I didn't realize that, but Jesus. So they stick it in his neck, and then they just keep doing everything to this dude. At one point the chicken the chicken, she was like, oh, do you want some? Is it chicken?
Is a finger looking good?
Is a finger looking good? And she keeps saying that Australian right. accent of hers. And which made me feel weird because that's such an American thing, you know.
Right, right.
You don't really hear that in Australia. I didn't think. I didn't even know they had, right. I didn't know they even had like KFC. And,
right, which you know. And it wasn't a KFC because they showed the dad going to the wing place and it was just some generic wing place out in Australia. So that is weird that they would use that saying, you know. So, you know, it's a little off right there. But, you know, the whole point that was just so he could lick on her fingers and whatnot because she was just like, nah, lick the chicken off my finger or I'm going to nail your hands down or something.
Yep. And
I
then
saw
he...
it somewhere. It's bleach that she injects.
Okay, so it's bleach.
But still.
Okay.
Still, that could probably kill somebody.
You right. know,
put yeah. that into their neck. But
didn't see the sidebar, but I was just researching.
Right. You answered our question.
Yeah. yeah. There we go.
Still asinine, but still.
Right.
So he goes up and she you know, is sucking on her finger and whatever. I feel like daddy was getting really jealous at that point, you know, or yeah. whatever. Right. Not liking that. And then he ends up. What is it
with the nail and
yeah he is well right. no because he has to pee and he uses
well he toilet. Lies about needing the bathroom and hopes to escape
right
not realizing that she was going to be like oh here's a like, here's a cup like a mug pee
no
in
not
this
just that she drinks the whole milk right downs that milk
yeah
just
yeah.
to get the empty glass. Cup and so that she
right
can
he wasn't expecting that because he lied. He didn't have to pee he just wanted to try to escape
now,
you know.
I don't know about you guys, but even in like a like scared sense of like, I think dread of like, I don't think I can force myself to pee. Like if I didn't really
oh,
have
no.
to,
I don't
the
know
fact that he
I
did
don't know
was amazing.
The fear, I don't know if the fear would make you have to pee or not.
Maybe a little bit
like in public bathrooms anyway
right I mean I would assume like since you know parts work differently it may be harder for a male to pee on cue like that but I feel as a female like if I feel like I could do it but I don't know like I feel like if I was scared enough I'd be like oh no here you go
so he has 10 seconds to pee or they're gonna nail his dick to the table
the
or whatever
yeah.
chair
yeah.
and so they so he finally pees at 9 because I mean that just the
right,
music
you have to count
and
a count of 10
everything yeah. that they're doing just creeped me out like I was like oh my god are they is this where it's gonna go is this gonna go there like you don't
right.
know
because you never know
this is the kind of movie that's so original and so scary because right. you really have no clue like if this is gonna be a great way to explain this is it is Carrie meets Misery meets People Under the Stairs
right
you know?
I get Misery and People Under the Stairs
Carrie is just the prom stuff you know
right right you yeah, know the girl yes. who wanted to be the prom queen but yet she
outcasted
you know, right
outcast,
that song
yeah.
that plays over and over you know am I not pretty enough
yep
do I cry too much all like the sad girl stuff you know her wanting to be prom queen and all this stuff find her prince charming you know and I yeah the whole thing is just very creepy
yeah so he does pee and thank god for his
right
pick,
and
you know
then he what power kicks her into the freaking table
yeah that's
yeah
how
which I mean even with it being tied together he was able to do that and everything because he wasn't tied down like later they nailed him down or whatever, but he wasn't nailed down at that time. So he went bam and kicks her and then escapes, I guess, for a little bit.
Right. He tries to flee and he hides under a car, not realizing it was her dad's car. So when he pulled out of the driveway to go find him, there he is and then gets chased up a tree and has rocks thrown at him until he gets knocked down.
Until he gets knocked down, that was a fucking crazy ass knock.
Right.
So he fell down. They kidnapped. They took him back. They made sure to tie him tighter
and that's
now
where
nail
the
him down. And I was just like, oh man, this kid. Like I feel so terrible. Like he did not do anything wrong.
Like, right, he didn't.
It would just be one thing.
A cute boy at school that she liked.
I know. Like, it would be one thing if he had been like a dick to her, you know, the whole time or something. Right. And he, she was getting revenge. Really nice. Yeah, but like,
he even was like, "I'm sorry, I have a girlfriend," you know.
Yeah, like, he was dismissive, but politely dismissive.
Right.
He was very polite. Like, that's the perfect way to describe him. He was just like this, like, sweet guy that was just like, "I'm sorry, I've got a girl. I'm going with my girlfriend." You know. Yeah. But you know, like, he didn't deserve this. I hate to say it, the other guy might have deserved it a little bit more. Like, if he had, like, you know what, if they had switched places, if it had been right, the other kid,
his friend was more the type that was, you
like,
would
a jackass, you know, kind of,
you know? Yeah,
probably would have been more rude to her too,
right? Oh, I bet you would have.
And I bet if he had been switched places, we wouldn't have cared, you know. I think what really Rupert made this movie good was that you cared about the main guy, you know.
Right.
You know, you knew he was a sweet dude who just didn't deserve any of this to happen. And especially right after his fucking dad got killed, because
she ends up bringing out her photo book or her scrapbook that she made to show him, because she's like, "This is me when I was little and the boy I kidnapped then. This is me as a preteen and the boy I kidnapped then. This is this boy I kidnapped and this boy I kidnapped. And this is the one that got away." That's when he saw it and realized it was the Valentine brother, you know, the son of the cop and the brother of the goth girl and the guy he almost hit where he ended up killing his dad. So then I think he was like, "Oh, now I definitely want to get some revenge on you, because you're one of the reasons why my family got hurt, you know, and people I know got hurt. Not to mention all this that you're doing." So that was more motivation, I think, for him to get, you know, her.
Yeah.
You know.
So then, and so we never know what happened because they're all missing, right? We later on find out that they've been lobotomized and turned into these kind of...
because after he tries to get away, they put the knives in his feet to keep him really from running again, where she's like, "I want you to cry." And he's like, "I'm not going to cry." But then they try to lobotomize him. And that's when you're like, okay, so this is why Bright Eyes had the hole in her head. And this is what they've been doing to these boys, is drilling a hole in their head, pouring hot fucking water in there, and just brain frying them, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine, like, having the hole rimmed out to make the hole bigger for the water.
Right, that scene was a little, like, you see the smoke from the skull and the drill. And
it was rough, man.
Trying to pour the hot water in his head and actually spilling it on her dad. And but again, that's where he managed, though, like, you know, I think it was mainly because he, you know, he had that razor necklace. He managed to cut himself free and get away again, you know, basically by breaking the chair loose and grabbing the drill and the knife. And that's when he went all psycho on the dad and actually managed to take out the dad, which that was a big kill.
Okay, so Lola is partially based on Jeffrey Dahmer, and this can be seen in one of her torture methods, which is lobotomizing her victims by drilling a hole in their forehead and pouring boiling water into it. The real Jeffrey Dahmer also used a power drill to try and lobotomize his victims. He wanted to turn them into obedient zombies. And after drilling a hole into their heads, he poured acid into them. Nobody ever survived lobotomies.
Yeah, and that's basically what she was trying to do. She wanted zombies, because right before they drilled the hole in the head, what I forgot is they open up that cellar and realize that all those boys who were lobotomized are her zombie pets down there in that cellar.
Yeah. And
Jeffrey Dahmer also, like, raped and ate some of these victims. But, I mean, they didn't want to make her exactly like him, I guess.
I don't think she ate any of them, but I wouldn't put it past her.
That was the lobotomized boyfriend.
Yeah. So. Right.
I wouldn't put it past her either. She was whacked out.
Which the lobotomized zombie boyfriends ended up being cannibals, you know, because, like, she would throw out, you know, dead animals and water in there, but sometimes they ate the other boys because there were definitely bones all around. And like I said, once the dad was killed, he kind of went in there too and they ate him.
Mm-hmm. They were hungry.
He got what was coming to him.
Which, thankfully, when he got in there too, they didn't come after him because they were still eating the dad.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. So I was just like, Jesus.
Yeah. She was so mad that she was she threw the hammer in there. She threw the buck in there. She threw the flashlight in there. Thank God. So he could see, you know, she was mad. You killed her dad. Her daddy's dead.
Yep.
Like that was heartbreaking for her.
Yeah. And then what? Okay, I think we skipped a few things. We skipped a few things. Like we not skipped a lot, the but stuff. Just a few.
We kind of skipped the almost makeout scene with the dad.
Yeah, the almost makeout scene with the dad, and that, oh my God, that was creepy. That they're like basically, she was talking before about trying to find her prince, and when she marries him. You know, life is going to be great or whatever. And then she realizes her dad is her prince.
Right. You've been here the entire time. That's why none of them have worked out for me. It's always been you, daddy.
Yeah. Creepiest scene. And then they're about to kiss. And then he like makes some noise trying to escape. Right.
He's like, I don't want to see this.
Yeah. I don't blame him. It was basically. And so they... you know, and then he breaks free or whatever. Wait, when was the lobotomizing? Was that after that? Had to have been
after he ran away and got brought back in. They stabbed him in the feet and stuff, and then they opened the door to find out where the other boys were in there, and they're like, okay, now it's your turn, you know. And they were trying to lobotomize him, and then he killed the dad and pushed him in.
Could push the dad and then they pushed, he got pushed in to the hole and by Lola, and she was not happy.
She went all crazy. She's like, you know what? I'm going to kill your mama and I'm going to go kill your girlfriend.
Actually that's when the girl figures out what's going on, calls the sheriff guy or whatever, the cop, and says, you know, I think it might be Lola Stone, can you go check it out? She goes to Lola's house, kind of checks in the house, finds out, like, you know, can't see what's going on, sees the, you know, the place that the hole or whatever, the room, opens it up, and Lola's right behind him, and shoves him whatever, and he dies.
It was an accident, like that cleaver. She had a cleaver that she basically stabbed him in the head and pushed him in before he could really do anything. So he ended up not being much help. And that's then when he was like, you know what? I'm going to go kill your family.
At least the kid got a gun that he wasted all the bullets
in. Yeah.
That pissed me off. I'm sorry.
Right? I understand the first shot, but then stop shooting.
But see,
or wait until you see her.
Right?
That's the thing. That's where movies come in to play, because they're like, you know, because here's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was thinking the end of the movie sort of annoyed me a little bit, because I felt like the end of the movie, the director, writer dug himself into a hole, you know, no pun intended. Actually, pun was intended. because he shoved that guy into the hole. You know, and now he's got to figure out, how do you get this guy out of the hole, right? First of all, and B, how are we going to end this? You know, what's he going to do? He's got to get, obviously, he's going to get his revenge. Not
getting rescued by the cop, you know, the cop died.
So
he's got to save himself.
Where that was another thing that kind of annoyed me was the idea of, once you're in the hole and it's not about him. And I thought to myself, oh no, they brought in a deus ex machina, right? Which is where God machine, where all of a sudden, like, say you're on stage for something, you know, like a play or whatever. And then all of a sudden something comes out of nowhere and saves your life, you know, right? That's basically deus ex machina. That was what they tried to do with this, with the cop, right? Cop was going to be the deus ex machina, except they switch it up where all of a sudden he's useless, like in 2 seconds or whatever. And
right. The only good he was to make the little human ladder higher.
Yeah. The human ladder higher. So they made so he was able to do that.
He did end up killing all the other boys. And then he had the cop's body and stacked them all up and climbed out of the hole.
Yep. And then he ended up coming out of the hole, coming after the girl. And for some reason or another, man, like, girl runs right into, you know, Holly. I think that's right. Holly.
So, so she has her book and she has her heels and her knife and she's going to go kill Mom and Holly. And she's, my question is, first off, why didn't she take the cop car instead of walking? You know, because
I figured she didn't know how to drive.
My assumption was maybe the keys were still in his pocket and he's in the hole.
Oh.
But that didn't turn out because the kid ended up driving the cop car.
Unless he found the keys.
Unless he got the keys from the body, which could have happened.
You never saw, but
you never saw it. But I guess we're just going to assume that maybe that's how it happened, because
just we're going to assume the dog's still alive.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to guess that she didn't take the car because she didn't have the keys, and he took the car because he got them off the body because he was in the hole with him. So I'm going to come to that assumption. But the fact that she was walking on that hot asphalt, you know, her feet would have been like third degree burns and shit from walking on that, you know. And then of course the car that comes up behind her happens to be Holly, so she chunks that little book at her, distracts her, and tries to kill her.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what, the book, like, it was still float, all the pages were still floating, the
papers were floating, and she didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and she thought she like ran something over or something.
Well, we don't understand like why, when she saw Lola standing there and saw the necklace and realized what was happening, why didn't she just hit the gas? Why didn't she give Lola an opportunity to jump in the car? Why didn't she just drive? You know,
I thought so too. And this is a film thing. It happens all the time in films.
It wouldn't be a movie if they were smart.
Well, no, I mean, it happens in films all the time where, you know, right, they make these stupid mistakes that just drive me nuts, because I'm like thinking nobody on earth would actually do that. But I don't know.
If they're locked in fear, you know, they can't make the best decisions. But yeah, I would have hit the gas. But she put up a good fight, and you know, she punched the shit out of her and whatnot and kind of got away.
Another thing I didn't quite understand is when Lola, when Holly actually struggled free and Lola went to stab her, she stabbed down instead of sideways into the leg.
I mean, yeah. maybe that's her signature move. I don't know.
I think they were trying to portray Lola as this, you know, like just a
like the Norman Bates.
Because when she was,
she's a psycho.
Right. And when she, you know, so after Holly kind of started running and he almost plowed her with the car and swerved and missed and hit Lola instead, you know, her body was with the knife going clank, clank, stabbing forward. So I think that was just her way with the knife there.
It was interesting that it was sort of began, the whole movie began with the, you know, basically the
right, it kind of came through, you know, came all the way around there.
It came,
you know,
all the way around, and this time
almost hitting one of her victims, and then he swerved, almost hitting his girlfriend, you know, and then hits her.
Yeah, so
I don't know how that didn't kill her, but
I like that. You know?
Yeah, 20. Right. She was pretty beat up though, but then we got that cool little walk, you know.
See, here's the thing: I know horror movies as much as you do, and I kept yelling to the TV, she's not dead. There's no way she's dead.
Right? We all know it. We all know it. We're like, she's not dead. She's crazy. Car's not going to stop crazy.
I know. Like, you think that's going to stop it? You know, like, you never.
Right?
The victim always.
Slow reverse cracking her head back. That's how they ended up doing that one.
Yep. They ended up going backwards and just running her over, which, I'm hoping that means she was dead. I don't know.
Right?
And then for loved ones too.
Right.
Yeah. See, that was the thing. So they didn't make a sequel, obviously. He went on to do The Devil's Candy. And I really, somebody had said that like Lola was like one of the best villains to come out in a long time and everything. And I sort of agree with that. And that's sort of a sad thing. Like if a movie, the person doesn't die, you know, that's like when we watched Better Watch Out and mm-hmm. the person still survived, you know, like right. the villain. So you're like thinking, oh man, there could be a sequel if they ever want to make one. Right. So I like that, you know. So I wish that they had sort of made it ambiguous that maybe she was still alive, maybe she wasn't. Maybe like they didn't end up running her over, but they you did see her going like this, and that's how they ended. Yeah. I would have been okay with that, because then it right. would have left it open where, okay, maybe they didn't end up, you know, riding away, you know, or whatever, like Lola could come back.
Or maybe like they hit her and they thought she was dead and the paramedics came, and when they were taking her away, they're like, oh, she's still alive, we're gonna save her, and then she's like, ha, 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 ha,
I'm coming for you,
right?
Or like the cliche, like hand sprout right. out of the body bag,
right?
That's that would be a Carrie moment, because that's what right. happened, you know, the hand came out or whatever. So that would have been good. I would have liked that. I don't know.
Or maybe her dad survived and he wants revenge for killing his princess, you know.
He comes back as zombie.
The undead loved ones, you know. Cool. The loved ones title, I sort of don't get it really though.
Well, like, it's because they were her loved ones. All of those boys in the cellar thing were all her loved ones. She loved those are all the ones that she loved. She wrote her heart on her initials, and you know, she threw them in the thing. So that was her collection of loved ones.
She didn't really.
Is we skipped around is the fact that she carved
yes.
the heart with the with a fork.
Yes, all of her victims. She took a fork. Carved the initials in the heart and the chest. Ooh.
How dare she?
Ooh, so that's creepy.
And that means that means he's like scarred with that for the rest of his life.
Oh yes. Oh, yeah. Not to mention the hole in his head, but yes.
Yeah. God. Yeah. You know, like and just thinking feet. About that, it's just so terrible.
I'm not even sure how he was able to walk.
Or will he ever talk again?
Yeah, will he ever talk again? These are all questions. It's like, is he just a mutant for life?
So I guess if they ever did a sequel, it would have to be like a copycat Lola, you know? It would have to be somebody who heard, you know, the idea of what she did and thought, oh my God, that's a great idea, you know?
Like
and
they started doing that. Human Centipede sequel?
Sort of maybe like that, yeah. I never watched the Human Centipede movies. They're just something great. Like I tried.
I mean, the sequels were kind of trash, but the first one was okay.
I mean, the second one was okay.
The one with the jail was trash.
Oh yeah, the third one was garbage.
I actually met. Side note, different mm-hmm. than this whole story, but I saw the guy who was his name Dieter or something. That was the doctor
from the second one.
Is he the second one? I thought he was on all three of them.
The heavy set guy with the glasses, or are you talking about the German guy?
I know he's German, so I don't know. I thought he was the guy that ran the whole thing to begin with, or whatever.
It could be.
But he unfortunately he's no longer with us, whoever this guy is. I'm trying to remember. I know he was in the first Human Centipede, as well as all the
The doctor that
yeah doctor because his real name's Dieter Laser and he played Dr. Heiter or whatever, but anyway yeah. he was at Texas Frightmare Weekend 1 year, and I was walking into the hotels, and I just see the dude just literally standing like by himself, just watching people, like really creepy. And I don't know if he was just trying to be in character.
Right.
Or if he's literally like that, but it really creeped me out. Like I was like, cause I didn't know who the guy was. Right.
Right.
I just thought that guy was weird. So I turned to one of my friends. I was like, oh yeah, that's the guy from Human Centipede. And I go, what? Like, so I found out when I watched Human Centipede later that, oh my God, So I thought that was really funny. This is like 2009 or 10, or when was the first Human Centipede come out?
2009.
Yeah, so it must have been 2010, second year. And it was like there were, I guess, Human Centipede people were at the horror convention. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I kind of miss Texas Primary. I plan to go to it, not this year, maybe even not next year, but soon enough. I'll be
well, hopefully soon, so I can see you up there, because I'll probably be working it again this year.
You'll be there again this year? Good. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm there basically every year now.
Well, that's a good place to be. I mean,
I do live in Texas and I'm not far from it, so.
And see, I've always wanted to go to one, but I've never been to one yet.
Well, you're probably going this year, I'm sure, you know, especially if she's going to be there, you know.
Right.
Never know. So it'll be fun. Scares I Care is where I always go to now, because that's literally 5 minutes up the road from me. Like, yeah. 10 minutes. So I'm like, no problem. And I'll have to have you guys come out for that too at some point.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
But I would love for some of the characters in this movie, like, to just like, if I know they'll never happen, but if they were at a horror con, I would love to meet Lola, and I would hope she would be in her little prom dress taking pictures with everybody, just, you know. Or well, maybe I can cosplay as her.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You could pretend to be her, and
right, nobody will probably get the reference, but you know, I'll maybe have to just show them the movie and be like, come on guys, gotta watch it,
because then there would have to be somebody that has the hunt.
Oh, you want to be that person? There we go. I'm going to take a fork, carve my initials right there. There we go. We got a volunteer.
Oh, Lord. See, that's great. I mean, you could be him and you could be her, and there you go. Yeah. You got the whole cosplay going for it. You're right. Not many people know this movie.
But hopefully now they will, because it's kind of a hidden gem. You know, like, I remember seeing it in like the dollar bin at places all the time, and not like looking at it and just not even giving it a second look. And then I saw it on streaming and I was like, you know what? This kind of seems interesting. I watched it and I loved it, and I've shared it with so many people now. So one of those hidden gems there in the $1.99 bin.
Is that where you found it? Is in $1.99, Ben?
There was there was a Blockbuster buyout of all the old DVDs in a big bin somewhere, and I found a whole bunch of them in there.
Do you still have it or no?
No, I don't think I do, because of moving and stuff like that. But I do remember there being a big closeout from the Blockbuster store.
It was a DVD of it.
Yeah.
I need to get a DVD of it. I just don't know if it's on Amazon for DVD.
I'm sure you can find a copy of it.
I'd probably get it. I need to get that and Devil's Candy at some point, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably got to be on Blu-ray. So I'll pick them both up at some point and, you know, have them, because it is a really good movie.
Right.
It's not something I'd be able to watch like a lot, you know, or whatever. Like, yeah. I won't be able to watch this every year. See, this is more your style than it is mine.
But this is also me showing it to people, because, you know, when I meet somebody new and it's like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, well, let me show you some of the movies I like. Like, I showed The Voices, which we did The Voices, which was another crazy movie. Oh, I like crazy psycho lovers, you know? So every time I get a new boyfriend, I show him all these crazy movies. And I'm like, hey, look, this is what I like. This is what you're getting into.
This is who I am, you know, because you said before that, like, was it that Lola and the goth girl
Lola are, and the goth girl is like two bits of my personality there.
Yeah.
I have a fun piece of little fun fact
trivia.
I thought the girl that played Lola looked familiar.
Okay. What was she in?
She was in Hell on Wheels. Which is that movie about the building of the railroad back in the 1800s. She played Eva, which was like the rescued from the Navajo.
So you remember
Navajo.
Her from that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but it does look like she was in quite a few movies from 2005.
And then
2005 to 2019. She was an Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter.
Awful.
Yeah, I actually never got to see that one. But yeah, it looks like she actually had a good career from 2005 until 2019. So I'll have to look up some of her other movies to see if she had any bigger roles other than the sloppy drunk who was grabbing dick.
I know. She was what? Who is that? Was that the girl?
I thought you were talking about the goth girl. Lola. I thought you were talking about the goth girl.
Crazy.
Okay. So, I wouldn't mind looking up some of her other movies to see her in a different character.
Yeah.
No, the girl, that was Mia, the girl. Okay. And yeah, she actually has a career, big career, because she was in the new Mortal Kombat movie as Sonya Blade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was in The Meg. Remember that movie?
The killer shark movie.
She was in that.
Okay, so she actually went on to do some noticeable things. That's awesome.
Yeah, so good for her.
Right?
But that was the goth girl you liked. Holly, the girl who played Holly, looks nothing like her. And now, it's crazy. But it's been over, a few years.
A while.
13 years.
Yeah. So you might look a little different if you're like 20 something, when you made that movie or whatever. Because the high school kids were like fucking 20 something, but she's been in a few things, but I think they're all so my mom likes these Australian/British TV shows and stuff. And she was in this show called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. And I think my mom's seen that. So I'm pretty sure she might have seen the one episode she was in. It was called Blood and Circuses. So all right, So anyway, a lot of them have been doing stuff. A lot of the women out there. Yeah.
Well, I hope the director decides to put out something else too, because I really did enjoy these two films that he did.
I think he will. I mean, like I said, it took him a while to make the next one. And I don't think it was financing issues, but might have been, because even though this movie obviously has sort of a cult following, it seems, it probably, I don't think it did fairly enough where,
Yeah, I read on the IMDb that the box office numbers were in the 300,000s or something like that.
That's sad.
Maybe the 350s or something like that.
That's sad. I mean, it does deserve that, and I wish that somebody maybe Scream Factory or somebody will put out a Blu-ray of it or whatever. And I say that for every movie and stuff I do. this movie deserves a Scream Factory.
Every movie deserves a Blu-ray copy nowadays. Come on.
Shot well enough to where it should have a Blu-ray copy.
Yeah,
definitely. And I love extras, special features. So I would love commentary.
The commentary on this, just to get a little more background on some of the characters, because like I said, they didn't really give a whole lot of detail on these people personally. So a commentary would be a little nice.
Yeah, commentary or behind the scenes making of, or interviews. I mean, I know what the guy looks like, the director, just because I looked him up and everything. Mm-hmm. But it would be cool to see him talk about these movies, what happened, whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd be interested.
Yeah. So we talked about
the female actresses a lot, but the main guy, Brent,
mm-hmm.
he was in Twilight right after this.
Oh,
poor guy.
He looks like he could be in Twilight. I honestly was surprised that the goth girl's not in Twilight.
I mean, yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Uh-huh. So was he in the first Twilight or just
sequel? No, it was Eclipse, I think, is the third one. I'm so mad at myself that I even know that.
wait, does Sarah, do you like the Twilight series?
I haven't seen them. I think I tried to watch the first one once, but I never tried again.
Oh, and he's a big name in it too. He's fourth listed. So that means he's high up there too. Holy shit.
He actually won an award for it. Best fight.
Good for him, dude. He was a great actor. Considering I never knew who he was, which
right.
I think helps these kind of movies because Like, I think I've talked about this in other podcasts before, but like, if there's a big star, like say they had like Brad Pitt, you know, or somebody, you know, like, well, obviously a very young Brad Pitt or whatever, but you like, he was a big name at that, like say he was a big name at that time and, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden you're watching that stuff. It just feels a little different, you know,
right?
When you don't really know who the person is and you kind of feel sorry for them, you know, but if you like knew Brad Pitt and you're like, ah, that guy's a douche anyway, you know,
right.
Like some of your like feelings for that guy as an actor, whatever, you know, like kind of go into the, you know, and fall.
Right. You know, the person too well, then you can't really separate the acting, the character sometimes from the actual person.
Yeah. Or the actor, you sort of know, like Tom Cruise never, you know, you're never going to see him lose. He's always going to win.
It's predictable. Yeah. It's predictable.
This movie had me on the edge of my seat. Literally, I actually went onto the edge of the bed at one point because I was like, where is this going? What's going to happen next?
The acting I thought was really well.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I liked the camera angles, I liked the acting, like everything I thought was shot very well.
I didn't know the actor, so I didn't know if it was going to get to a place where you were going to like wonder, you know, what's going to happen, you know, like what's going to happen next. And so you didn't know he could die, you know, and that's how it could end. And I actually thought at one point they might do that, you know, because, you know, and they didn't. And, you know, spoiler alert, even though we spoiled the whole movie. So,
well, that's our job, is to spoil the movie. If you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be watching this.
Yep, exactly. Well, I think that's about it. I mean, is there anything else that we missed that we did not talk about?
I don't believe so. So, yeah, this is one of the classic stories of, you know, when the weird kid asks you out to the dance and you say no, walk around a bodyguard for a little while, make sure she don't kidnap and murder you.
It's just the funniest thing, like, that escalated quickly, because, like...
they dive right into it.
I know, because, like, I'm, like, thinking... And she was watching them while they were having sex in the car, and, you know, all that shit was kind of creepy kind of thing.
She's jealous.
She was jealous. She had
a lot of jealousy issues.
But there was some really good looming moments, like, when he walked away from her after she just got rejected, it showed her just kind of staring at him, and it left on her for a while to kind of, you know, forebode that something bad might happen.
Yeah,
so I mean, it was a really well shot movie. He took a lot of really good risks with, you know, the director did.
Good. I dug the movie. I'm very glad you showed it to me. Like I said, it's not something I can watch like over and over again. It's definitely a story that I feel I would probably introduce people to this movie kind of thing to, you know, who haven't seen it. Paul said
if somebody asked me about a movie, I would recommend it.
Paul said he'd never seen it. Paul needs to see this, I think. I mean, he might like, he might not. He typically doesn't like high school kids movies, you know, or whatever, you know. I don't know
at least they look older.
That's true.
Which I think, because I think the actors had to be in order for these lewd scenes, but you know.
Right. You can show nudity with a teenage girl. I mean, you could with an 18-year-old, but like that's still creepy, you know. Right. I mean, so whatever. They generally like people to be 18 or 20 years old or older, you know, and stuff. And they were, one of them was like 28 years old when they did this. So I read that. I think it's in the Loved Ones trivia. And I was just like, oh my God. I can see. Yeah. Cause they said that all of them were sort of like, you know, older than what they were supposed to be. How old is
The older girl was almost 30.
Okay,
so they were, you know, mid-20s or whatnot, pretending to be teenage kids.
Hold on. All of them were supposed to be they're supposed to be teenagers. Obviously, they were not. Yeah, despite playing teenagers, Xavier Samuel was 25. Jessica, which was the main boy, Jessica McNamara was 23. And Robin, the Lola girl, was 28. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know which one Jessica McNamara was. Is that the... I'm guessing she is... she's Mia. Mia, she's the one that got on to be Sonya Blade. You know, good for her. You know, now so I kind of want to watch Mortal Kombat.
The Wikipedia says that Jessica McNamee is currently 19.
What?
It says that Jessica McNamee is currently 19, which would have made her 9 during the making of this.
Right, there's got to be some.
There's
some
no way.
Yeah,
there's no way.
No, there's got to be a typo.
We especially if she's Sonya Blade currently.
Right.
No,
like,
yeah.
She would have to be in her late 20s,
yeah,
early
30s.
Yeah,
that's got to be a typo on the page.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they, I mean, maybe they wrote she's currently back when she was, you know. It says she was born in 2002. What? Is this the same girl? This is not
the
same.
That's what it's saying. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. It showed her writing someone.
Right.
There's no way she did that when she was 9.
No, because on IMDb, IMDb, it says June 16th, 1986 is her
birthday.
So
was it Wikipedia?
That was Wikipedia.
Well, this is why we don't trust Wikipedia. But
well, anybody can write on Wikipedia.
Exactly. Anybody can fill anything in. False information.
Yeah, because right, so you're right. It says age 19.
Oof.
Yikes. That's not what. That doesn't even make any sense. Like,
sorry, I railroaded the whole.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm sure we're already over time.
Yeah, we're a little bit, but it's okay. we're always, I mean, my shows have typically been going to an hour and a half lately, so this will not be there, but it's, you know,
right.
It's one
we'll
of
start
those
wrapping
things.
It up for the kids at home, get them to bed and whatnot.
Yeah. So basically, all in all, I'll have to say thank you for introducing me to this film. Woo-hoo. I hope that this does kind of open up people who have never seen it to go to Pluto TV or online and find the DVD if you can. If you can find it somewhere else, wherever.
I know Amazon Prime has it for rent for $3.99, and then Pluto TV does have it for free. That's the only streaming services I have seen it on so far, other than just going to one of your local, you know, DVD shops that has the cheap bins and just looking for it, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be there.
And you said it was somewhere else before, but now it's, I guess, on Pluto. So.
I'm pretty sure I watched it for free on a different streaming service last month, and I want to say it was Amazon, but now it's for rent, which they change things all the time with what's free and what's not free. So
well,
it could have got picked up by somebody.
I think it was picked up by Pluto, you know, yeah. And that was what happened is like, you know, Pluto goes, hey, we're gonna take this now, and then they start doing it for free, and then Amazon has to have it where you rent or buy it from them. So
yeah,
this will be something I want to own or buy at some point, you know, on DVD.
Awesome.
Or Blu-ray.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So it's first time seeing it tonight, right before
first
this
time seeing it here too. So
y'all are welcome. Don't make me mad.
Speaking of which, we will just let you know that Horror Film Lovers is continuing to do stuff. So this is February that this will be out, and in February we're going to be doing a lot more stuff for the YouTube channel, as well as the TikTok that we just started. So come check that out, because We've got a lot of people following
the
TikTok already.
We are going to expand our social media platform and try to do more involving this podcast. Like Jonathan said, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. You can find us just about anywhere now, and you'll be seeing our lovely faces just a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more, which is great. It's what I originally planned. But however, like, things got so busy last year, specifically, that I just could not focus on this and everything. But this is the plan to make was 2020 and 2021 were really busy times. 2022 is going to be busy too, but we're going to make sure we get you guys a lot of content. You know, that's our plan. Right. So you will see clips on YouTube, Instagram. Follow our Instagram, Horror Film Lovers podcast, I think is the whole thing. Follow Horror Film Lovers TV, which is the TikTok, and follow, I guess, Sarah, you want to pimp out your stuff?
I do Horror Film Lovers as well. And then I also do Instagram, which is Virginia_Church. I do OnlyFans under Virginia Church. And then hopefully soon I'll be doing some of my own podcast projects as well, which you can check out my Facebook and my Instagram under Suicide Watch, which is the little U and the little W and the little U, you know, the uwu thing, you know, Suicide_Watch for a lot of my shenanigans.
What about you, Cody? How can people like check out your stuff?
You can go on Facebook or even Bandcamp and look up the band Malignant Rot. We're a death metal band out of Austin. We've even started jamming with a band in San Antonio called Carry On. So yeah, some good music coming y'all's way.
When you don't want to listen to a podcast, you can listen to a heavy metal album.
There you go. There you go.
And then when you're tired of that, you could just go look at sexy pictures of me. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
We got everything for you.
Yeah.
Did you pump out your OnlyFans?
I did. Okay. You know, it's a Virginia_Church. Check me out. It's a $5 subscription. Got lots of great content on there. I got the Instagram as well.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. You guys stick around. Everybody else, thank you guys for listening. Tune in next month for my episode. Right. I have one I can't wait to show you guys that Sarah has not seen, I don't believe. So we're going to be...
We will give you a heads up of it before the podcast soon so you can watch it and be ready by time we get the next episode out.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys for checking this out and hope you enjoy it. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.